You're listening to Filling Seats, the State of Enrollment Marketing in Higher Ed, hosted by StudentBridge. In this podcast, you'll learn what's working to grow, shape, and sustain enrollment at colleges and universities directly from fellow enrollment marketers, thought leaders, and ed tech innovators.
Hi, I'm Jonathan Clue, CEO and founder at StudentBridge, and thank you for joining us today on Filling Seats podcast. Slightly different today, we're not a studio, we're flown down to tropical Tampa to meet two of my esteemed colleagues who are from the UK originally, but one of them's moved into Florida, Richard. And I'd like to introduce you to Luke Warren, who's CEO of Kinetic Software, and also Richard Nichols, who's CEO of Kinetic Software USA, I guess that's how it works. So thank you.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
So Luke and I have known each other for a couple of years, I think, and we've met, and Richard's our first time meeting. Pleasure to meet you. Kinetic Software has been an amazing business in Europe, and I know you've expanded to the US and Canada, and Richard's now the CEO of USA, and you're opening really good to expand. Please correct me, obviously, if I'm wrong, but it started with residential, like student housing, you're moving into other aspects, which I want you to tell me all about, please, if you can.
Yeah, let's do that. So Kinetic in Europe has been established now for a little bit more than 25 years.
Wow.
Which is, it's just been such a thrill, really. I've been a part of that for the last 8 years, certainly not the full 25. And what a sector we work with. I think let's just put that out there first. We work with some pretty, you know, amazing people doing great stuff. So I just really wanted to put that out there. We actually didn't start in the housing space. We actually started in the conference and event space. So our founder, Chris Wildsmith, detected that there was an opportunity in higher education to leverage all of that wonderful resource, all of that space, and let's think about it, during summer and Easter and Christmas periods, that availability and commercialize it.
So event space within a university facility.
Yeah, I mean, you know, we've all got experiences of universities. Yeah. They're some of the finest resources, spaces, meeting rooms, equipment known to kind of mankind, right? So when the students are not utilizing that, someone may as well be. And we produce some awesome software to help the universities leverage what they had to generate surplus income to further support students. That then, over a period of time, moved into the student housing space. And that's really the two of those areas of where we've lived ever since. And it's really what the business is built on.
And 25 years ago, really before the true advent of the internet. So how were they doing that business? Was it more like kind of phone calls and email? Or I guess emails were also new, but how was the business started?
Yeah, so from a customer standpoint, they were absolutely very much relying on traditional methods of sending a letter or knocking on the door, picking up the phone. But Kinetic really started with a few like-minded people who shared a passion for wanting to support the education space. And here we are 25 years later.
Now, look, you and I, as I said, have been friends for a couple of years. I'm proud to say you've dominated the UK market. I think it's 85% market share you have there.
Yes. Yeah. So I feel fortunate every day knowing that we work with such a huge number of the institutions across the UK and Ireland in particular.
Okay.
We work with other countries across Europe, but really our mainstay is the UK and the Irish market, with a few handfuls of customers across the US and the Canadian market. And we just learn so much because of that. We have such access to a huge quantity of people and to data and exposure to their businesses that just puts us in an incredible position, not just to support with awesome software, but also to provide advice and kind of, you know, when necessary and an opportunity exists, and coaching on how others do it. And I think that's been so key to our success, those relationships we've been able to create via just so much exposure. So, yeah.
Now, this is quite the being in America myself for 30 years, I understand that this is a great country and it really loves people that embrace and invest into the country. Richard clearly is that investment. I mean, you're here to start the US side up with earnest and really kind of get a foothold. How is that going to work for us? What's some of the translation of what works well in Europe? I know you've got some US customers, but what are you seeing as some of the key strategic things you may do to help the US?
That's actually a really good point, because there are a number of differences between the US and Canadian marketplaces, which in themselves have differences, and kind of our home base in the UK. Also, as both you and Luke alluded to, we've got a number of customers in North America today who for quite some time were calling on Kinetic to bring our student housing software proposition to to this territory more meaningfully, really to offer choice. But I think there's two things with that. One is, Luke kind of spoke about focus, not just in higher education and just the two kind of sets of offerings that we have. But we like to be the best that we can be in the things that we're doing at the time. And it's, so it's only really of recently that we felt ready to start to put North America front of mind and invest in helping the universities in that space as well. And although really that the, you know, them asking us to bring these propositions was born out of offering more choice in this marketplace, since we've gone through the exercise to understand the differences in features as well as the things that are in common, what we've really found from the marketplace, residential life professionals, student life professionals, is they're excited about the peace of mind that we offer because of the 25 years of offering a real depth and breadth of capability and therefore the ability to handle lots of quite unique complexities within the housing process. But also, for many of them, I think our propositions have redefined what student housing software is to them. You know, historically, it's about the journey of from application through to allocation and exit. But actually, there's a lot of things about our proposition that focuses on the student, particularly when they're living at university, mm-hmm. and helping them through that transition and getting the most of not just the degree that they're studying for, but also the resident life piece as well.
So I want to share some data in a moment, which is why I'm so excited to come down and see you guys. But look, America, England, maybe Europe, but we talk about moving away from home, like in England, from like West London, and maybe you go to a university in a place called Bristol. Well, Bristol is an hour and a bit down the motorway, right. Freeway to America. Right. In America, we travel 1,000 miles, 2,000 miles. Like it's like a child going, or your son or daughter going to university in Italy.
Right.
Or and maybe the cultural differences aren't that wide, but they're still pretty wide.
Yeah.
Huge. Right? So and the data part I want to bring up is that when you look at all of Student Bridges content, we've got 350 partner universities we work with delivering video content. The second most requested video is Residence Life. Just shows how much importance you place on that as far as a student going, look, I'm going to move from my parents' basement or attic or bedroom, and I'm moving to my passage to being an adult and go and do my own washing, laundry. But like, wow, what's it going to be like? And so this is something that I think you've had to really undertake as well, is kind of understanding student housing side. Would you talk about that a little bit, about how that might compare to the UK and Europe to the US?
Yeah, I think there's probably a few words to say on the thing that is the resident experience, and then maybe some of the differences between the two geographers.
Okay.
Let's face it, you spend so much time in your bedroom as a student. Tuition is important. We often choose our school based on the type of, experience that we want to derive from academia. But second to that, the most important thing really is that, where am I going to live? Who am I going to be with? Am I going to be able to make friends? What sort of events am I going to get involved in? Is that going to be an easy process? Who's going to be there to support me? And I think often it can be quite an obvious route to choose the course. The academic piece can be quite obvious. It's based on interests and passions. The rest of it, the piece I just referenced, is actually quite a worry.
Yes.
And more so, I'd say, in the US than in the UK because of your, West London to Bristol. If I really needed to, I could be back in West London from Bristol in a couple of hours on a train.
Yeah,
I could be back I could be back quickly. If you're if you're being educated in, let's say, California, but your parents live in Tampa, where we are now, that's quite the trek.
Yeah.
It's not so easy.
And you can't book it immediately either.
Right. Yeah. And you're probably uncomfortable with doing that in a day or a weekend. It becomes really challenging. And I think that magnifies the challenge experience here in the US versus the UK.
Just to add to that, if I can, I think those concerns are shared by the student life and housing professionals at the universities as well. I think they really do understand, the challenges that these students are facing as they move out, but also the angst it causes for the parents as well. And actually, we found ourselves really in conversations around, well, if we can take care of the complexity and the overhead that's involved in kind of the student housing process to free up people to be able to focus on these human beings, these young adults that are making this huge transition in their life, not just to offer the peace of mind to them, but also to their parents as well. I think that is a shared commitment from the people in the university, as well as something that's at the front of mind for the parents and the students as well.
Yeah, and I think that's what our data shows, is that we think about it, there's four data decisions when you talk about it, like the education side. Does it have the program I want to do? But if it does, it's data 0 and 1, right? Just it's binary. Number two question is, if I do, can I get in? Like, so yeah. And there's lots of software out there, the websites that will help you understand if it's a stretch score or a safety and whether you're going to get in. Right. Number three is, if I do get in, can I afford it? Data again, 0 and 1, 0 and 1. Number four is, geographically, and it probably comes, but it's not in order, is it close to home or far from home? In fact, what might surprise you is in America, still the 50 mile is the radius of 50% want to go more than 50 miles and 50% less than 50 miles. So it's still a radius thing. So it's not, even though it's a huge country, it has similar geographic kind of limitations as you may have in the UK. Once those four data decisions are taken, it's all about emotion. When I go on campus, do I feel like I fit in? Do I like it? And that's where housing is so, so important. Now, I've visited quite a lot of American universities. Some of them have got okay accommodation. Some of them are like better than the apartments you'd rent as just a working professional. Swimming pools and fountains and stuff. What do you see as far as like the amenities? I mean, how much are universities investing in that kind of amenity versus being a dorm to be a lifestyle?
Well, I think there's just two angles to this. First of all, many are investing lots.
Okay.
And we've seen a real trend in the UK over the last, I'm going to say 5 years, and we've seen spas, mini spas, cinema rooms, you know, really amazing 4 or 5 star hotel type stuff appear in student housing. And when you look at the data from kind of student satisfaction surveys, rarely, if not ever, do you see a comment that says, I love it here because we have a jacuzzi or because we have a cinema. It's not about those things. They're novelties a lot of the time. And speaking to, you know, so many of the contacts that I come into contact with on such a regular basis, they find the jacuzzi, the cinema room, the gym less so, but they find them really well utilized in the first 4 weeks. And then there's a real drop off. The novelty factor disappears. They've made friends by that point, and actually there are other things to explore. So when it comes down to it, what's important? Well, of course, it's the space I'm living in. Is it safe? Is it clean? Is it accessible? And outside of that, who can I get help from?
Yeah.
If I need someone, if I need a thing, if I need a friendly face, if I need someone to put their arm around me metaphorically, is that a thing I can gain access to? And you know, I don't want to speak on behalf of the entire student population, but I'm willing to bet they'd have the friendly face and voice over the jacuzzi or the cinema room every day of the week.
I think you didn't mean to do it as a segue, but a great segue. let's talk about where Kinetic, I'm seeing Kinetic moving into. I told you the stat number two video clicked on is Residence Life and Halls. Yep. Number two most completed video, which is different, but they actually get to it and then watch it, is health, mental health, wellness. Something that I know you feel very dear to, and something you're really trying to change. And so let's talk about that.
I think it's really easy to get caught up in the tech because something that we're told all the time is just how almost unexpectedly unique our solutions are. But being focused on just that is how can we offer the tools to resident life professionals to understand that someone perhaps isn't okay, that seems okay, but also the tools to create genuinely thriving communities. And I think the thing for us is to, yes, of course, we're a tech company. And so, you know, it's innovative and it's fresh and exciting. But the most important thing for us is the people. And actually, when you look at resident life and student affairs, you know, communities of staff, they're kind of the unsung heroes a little bit. You just spoke to it quite a lot. Yep. I spoke to one the other day, and a gentleman at a college in Georgia. And it was amazing the things that they do to ready these people for real life. Like even down to washing your clothes, making you show up for lunch, and you've talked about some of those things as well. But then, for example, they have a committee.
Like an onboarding thing, right?
It's onboarding, but it's also day-to-day. They have a committee of 5 or 6 students, and they give them a budget of X amount of thousands of dollars. And the other students appeal to them, this is the event I would like to do. And then they are the decision-making. So they're helping ready these people for real life. And I think our role in all of that is, yes, we have to satisfy the requirements of student housing. We have to bring real innovation in the tech piece, and of course we do that because we're a global market leader in that, but actually our focus is always the people, because in the end you never really know what's going on with the person. And so if we can free up the resident life communities and give them access to, you know, previously undiscoverable insights into what's really going on the campus, they can actually make a fundamental difference to not just the well-being of the student on site and on the campus today, but really help them set a foundation for the rest of their lives.
I think with technology, people get worried about Big Brother, but what you're saying to me is when technology is put to a better good, a common good,
right,
and it can observe behaviours that someone may not put a hand up and say, I'm struggling, but it can observe they're struggling without them knowing they're struggling, you can get there and help them. That's kind of an important thing, right? It's like, it's that observation versus don't come and ask for help. We want to come and offer you help.
I think more technology shouldn't mean more time at your desk. I mean, that's really important. The more technology you acquire in a university, in a kind of student-led department, that should not mean you spend more time at your desk.
It should free you. Yeah.
So let's be really truthful about what technology is. Technology is an opportunity to do high value things, because the technology should take care of the things that are perceivably lower value, and that's where we focus. And I think when I think about our boardrooms, our meetings, our customer explorations, where we're trying to learn and learn and learn, it is about how do we take this person away from the low value tasks, the repetitiveness, as much as possible.
Right.
When I speak to contacts here in the States, and I've done multiple tours multiple times. I was in Colorado, you know, just a few months ago, visited 4 schools, had amazing sessions, just deep discovery sessions of, you know, what keeps you up at night? And if you had more time, where would you spend it?
Like, I've seen some of the LinkedIn, I know you did it, so I know you saw that picture.
Yeah, and we never walk into that thinking we know the answer. And even if we find the answer today, we'll ask the same questions again in 6 months' time. We might get different answers. We might get the same answers. Yeah. We don't mind. But as long as we continue to understand and learn and be on the journey with them. And the things that keep people up, and I'm talking senior directors, right? I'm talking people that are making pretty big decisions in these departments. The things that keep them up are student mental health, gender, and getting gender, you know, wrong and upsetting somebody. And what would you do if you had more time? I'd spend as much of it as possible standing up in front of the student. I'd be out there, I'd be helping them more. I'd be teaching them how to manage a bank account.
So they're getting a bit too chained to their desk, is what we're saying as well. Like this technology, all these systems come out, and it's making them sit versus face.
Yeah, their job becomes about navigating and negotiating with the software platform rather than the software platform freeing them.
Enabling them to go and do something.
Yeah, that's great. Important.
Look, we're going to be wrapping up in a few minutes, but I know you've got an exciting new solution. I saw your website, actually. You didn't tell me. So well done for not coming across to me, but I'd love to hear about it. It looks like a student success platform, almost we might call it America, but I might get it wrong. So tell me a little bit about it. It sounds very exciting.
Yes. So I wake up every day feeling excited that I get to work with technology. I'm a huge tech fan, but I get doubly excited, maybe triply excited that we get to do it for this course. What we do is we work with the professional communities inside universities, the staff, the employees of the school, to help make their day better. And that has a huge impact to the student. And that's the area we wanted to double down on. So we have brought on board a platform that is absolute specialist and best of class in building residential communities. We spoke about how hard it is for an 18-year-old to turn up to school 50 miles away or, you know, 500 miles away, making friends, where do I go for X, Y, and Z?
Right.
And we wanted to make that so much smoother. Of course, for the student, the end user, but also the actual professional that sits behind that decision making. So we have an app now, which it just fits in beautifully with the other parts of our platform. And what it does is it's like an extra member of staff, maybe 2 or 3 extra members of staff that helps create thriving communities, which students just benefit greatly from. They make new friends smoother. They can join events without that being...
They belong.
they belong without, you know, join events that, that really avoid the need to feel anxious. And it does a lot. We're probably not going to cover that in this.
On the podcast, it just does from here. I mean, Tampa to learn everything you're doing.
And, yeah, so it really connects up all of the dots that we already currently have, and it puts something in the student's pocket that's going to make them feel more welcome.
Brilliant.
And we love it.
Yeah, sounds very powerful.
Absolutely.
Look, thank you for making the time this evening. I'm looking forward to spending more time with you tomorrow to learn about this. But hope you all enjoyed that. It's a quick insight into our friends at Kinetic Software. And wish you all the luck. And we're here to help at Student Bridge and our great partners. Thank you for having us, John.
Thank you, John.
Cheers.
Appreciate it.
Bye.
This is the Filling Seats podcast hosted by StudentBridge, where we help enrollment teams achieve more by fusing authentic storytelling with industry-leading technology and personalized digital experiences. To connect with this episode's guests, check out the show notes. If you enjoyed the episode, leave a rating and review, and don't forget to subscribe. For more information about StudentBridge and this podcast, go to studentbridge.com/podcast.